CliffCentral.com. Yes, good morning, everybody. It is Thursday. Da 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 da. Well, you're in for a hell of a week and a half. You're going to be treated to everybody, to Sia Sangweni, to Ben Karpinski, to Nono Healy, and to Leanne Moll. How cool is that?
Oh.
I will be away from tomorrow. But don't fear, you're in good hands.
You're leaving on a jet plane.
You know how that vagina, Queen of Vagina her. Sings?
Oh, yeah, okay.
You sing like Queen of Vagina. The worst.
You know, I still think one day you will all look back on me like, who was the artist who was not under... Vincent van Gogh.
Oh,
only
yeah.
sold one painting in
you
his lifetime.
You compare yourself to him, huh? You don't mess around.
And now...
Go straight to the top.
People wish they took him seriously.
Yeah.
I should start recording albums and just leave them around.
Well, you know, he couldn't... He painted those sunflowers, those famous sunflowers.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't sell it. And he did a couple of sunflower paintings. People hated them.
So bad.
They hated them.
Sounds familiar.
This is such shit. And people would walk past and go, this shit.
No.
Now, at the National Gallery in London, they sell more postcards of that painting than any other painting.
Wow.
It is their biggest
and
selling item.
And he has no idea.
He's dead. Dead, with one ear missing.
That's
he sliced
sad.
Up his own ear. He was
yeah,
so depressed.
The slice of the ear was a bit extreme.
He was miserable, that guy. He had a horrible life. He was cross. He was depressed. Mm. There was no way to deal with it. You think in the 1800s, people knew about depression? They were like, oh, straight to the loony bin with her.
He has a touch of the melancholy.
Yeah, melancholy. what we must do is clamp him in like cold, wet rags until he shivers it out.
And he had no uterus to remove.
No. Because you know that's what...
Because that would have set him straight.
That's where the word hysterectomy comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute Hysteria. A woman... Yeah, the minute a woman was like a little bit emotional...
Which was every month.
They would tear out her uterus and give her a hysterectomy thinking that would cure it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's where the word comes from.
Who came up with that grand idea?
Terrible people, Sia. People who lived before us. In a time where humans were beasts.
Shun.
Beasts.
Yeah. Not maybe let's just shun her.
No.
They had horrible... Sleep it off.
You know about some of the treatments they used to do to like mental patients, right?
Oh, yeah.
Terrible things. They would put them in tiny, tiny spaces where they couldn't move, and then they'd pour water on them and stuff. Mm.
And then there were lobotomies.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, that started in like the 1920s, 30s. And the most famous one, he's on the line right now to tell us about it, is the sister of Ted Kennedy.
Oh,
all right.
And Joe and Jack and Bobby and all the other Kennedys. You know, Maria Shriver's mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
All of them. Do you want to speak to Ted?
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right.
Get to the bottom
Let's
of this.
He's on line three, right, Nola?
Hello, this is Ted Kennedy.
Hello, Ted.
Hi, good morning. It's not often that I get to speak about my sister, Rosemary.
Oh.
What happened with Rosemary?
Well, you Google her, you'll see very quickly what a disaster her life was.
Well, Ted, what did Rosemary actually do? We've heard different
Jesus.
Scandals. Like,
oh, she was a problem.
What did she do at the dinner
my
table?
My father was ambassador to London. He was a very important man. My mother was a respectable Catholic housewife and a very powerful woman in the family. And the two of them were a power couple, even though my father diddled every other girl in Hollywood when he could.
Oh, sis.
He was a great man, don't you say that. Aren't you related to us?
Yeah, sure.
The resemblance is uncanny.
You're related to the Kennedys.
I actually am.
Exactly. I know everything.
I have an uncle, Bob Kennedy.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, he also diddled everybody in Hollywood.
Oh, dear. I didn't know about that.
All right, so Rosemary, what do you want to know? She would arrive at the dinner table with all of his children once we were old enough to sit with the adults. She was probably about, maybe in her early teens. And she would start fingering her vagina at the dinner table because she was randy.
Oh, gosh. Well, I've heard about a link between randiness and mental health.
She was mildly retarded.
Yeah,
which
there
isn't
we go.
Really a mental health issue, but she was mildly retarded and very randy and embarrassed the whole family. So my father would send her to her room and lock her away. But eventually it became too much of a problem.
So it didn't work?
No, he would shout at her and berate her and say, Rosemary, what is wrong with you? Why are you crawling around on all fours with your vagina hanging out?
Oh, rightly so.
And she would say, we all learned was, leave me alone.
Yes, I can hear that.
Did you think the lobotomy was a good idea?
We didn't have a chance to offer her an opinion. My father didn't even ask my mother. He just bundled her into a van and took her to her hospital and sliced off half of her brain.
Well, what do you think now?
Well, she only died in 1992.
Oh, so there was longevity in it.
Well, she was sitting in a chair the entire time. The whole of her life after that, with this puzzled look on her face and drool coming from the left-hand side of her mouth.
But no fingering.
No.
Well, that stopped. So did any motor action at all. Terrible life. Terrible life.
Well, when you don't have an option, you know.
I have to go. I think they're coming to get me.
Okay.
Heaven is quite a busy
place. Stop fingering yourself.
I think so, yeah. So that's the truth. Horrible story. This poor girl, Rosemary, she's their eldest daughter, and she was mildly retarded, and she was very, very horny all the time, and she'd embarrass the family. So Joe just decided, without asking anyone, it's time for her to go to the hospital. There was this new procedure called a lobotomy. And he said, we'll test it out on Rosemary. And she was like, after that, she was a complete vegetable. Mm. She didn't have much quality of life.
It's removing like the front part of the brain,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they literally sever the front of the cerebrum.
Ooh.
The cerebrum. And it just completely dulls you, turns you into like an automaton. You sort of sit there. You don't have any emotions at all. And they now... They can do much more specific work, like they can get into the parts of your brain which handle very particular things, like...
Fingering.
What's the connection between being sexually...
Yeah, well, you don't have social filters. You don't realize it's inappropriate to do that. So if it feels good, you just do it. You don't care about
anything.
Yeah, she was totally inept in a social setting, and you know they would invite her to the family dinner table and so on, and then they'd have a visitor, and the visitor would be like, Jesus, what's your daughter doing? You know, so it was terrible. But this poor woman had this long, unproductive, meaningless life in a mental institution, far away from the rest of her family. And actually, one of the reasons that Maria Shriver's mother started the Special Olympics was because of her Aunt Rosemary.
Oh.
Yeah. That was one of the reasons that she was so drawn to help people with special needs, and particularly special mental problems, because she saw the whole family as just abandoning her, really. Mm. And she thought this was not the way to behave. This is not the way to treat another human being. And so she started the Special Olympics and a number of charities around people who have, you know, family members and people who are born with some kind of mental condition. And by that, I don't mean a mental illness. I mean like you're born with an inability, a disability, a mental there's a lack of mental capacity in some people. And obviously these days it's a much rarer thing because people pick it up early on in the womb, and in some conditions you can circumvent. There's some that you can find out about early. People can treat these cases. You know, it's a lot easier to deal with now, but it's the saddest story because you think about those Kennedys. And one of the reasons that a lot of people who believe in karma reckon the Kennedys have been so unlucky is because this Joseph, the dad, was such a bastard. He was an absolute bastard. He treated his wife like shit. He had affairs with like three or four Hollywood starlets. All of his sons ended up being philanderers as well. The Rosemary thing was just so cruel, and a lot of people thought that was mean. He was also a Nazi sympathizer. You know, he was, when he was ambassador, he was like, well, the Nazis don't seem so bad to me. And look, there were a lot of Nazi sympathizers before they realized how bad Hitler was, you know, leading up to the war and everything. And then he was a bootlegger as well. So he would, during the Prohibition, he found ways to bring alcohol in. Although, on my balance sheet, that counts as a plus.
It's a plus, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So, what an interesting life. I mean, and this guy's biggest ambition, Joseph Kennedy, was to have one of his sons become president. And it was meant to be the eldest son, Joseph Kennedy Jr., who was this good-looking, right? He was a perfect, like, waspy American, you know, this guy was going to be president. And they groomed him to be president. He was sent off to the military, fought in World War II, and his ship was bombed, and he was killed.
Sure.
And, like, that just set Joseph off. He was like, well...
And it set off the...
The chain of events.
The string of bad luck.
Jesus. Yeah. They, I mean, because then they obviously went for the next eldest son, who was Jack, John F. Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. And he was then groomed to be the next one. And, you know, Joseph didn't go, he didn't make any, he went all the way to try and get his son elected. He would bribe the mob. He got people on all sides to, and I mean, Jack wasn't a bad president. By all accounts, he was a good guy. He was the youngest president in American history. And when he became president, people were quite thrilled. He had his own problems in the marriage with Jackie. He, you know, also slept around. He had a bad back. There were a lot of things about
sleeping
that.
Sleeping around will do that to your back.
The most fascinating family. I mean, you know, it's like they always talk about the Kennedys like they're this wonderful Camelot family. Like they used to refer to the White House during the time of the Kennedys as Camelot. And Jackie was a glamorous, you know, sort of sophisticated East Coast...
Fashion-forward.
Fashion-forward. Mm. She was very connected by family and by relationships to a lot of powerful people in America at the time. And people looked at her as a kind of the epitome of what a woman in America in the 1960s should be. Everything she did, all the other women copied. It's almost like... You know, in England, people copy the Queen, that kind of thing. So
she was an idol, really.
She was. And then, you know, obviously we know what happened to Jack.
And then I remember the era of John as well. John F. Kennedy
right,
Jr.
He was like the son who was meant to inherit the kingdom, right? And he was the strapping, good-looking, tall dude. He had the best aspects of his mother and father. And Caroline, the daughter as well, who ended up becoming Barack Obama's ambassador to Japan, I think. So there are... They're very connected to a lot of things. And then, of course, you know, the one daughter, Kathleen, married an English nobleman, and then their plane crashed into a mountain.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about another plane crash, because that's their how plane, John died.
That's right. And so Kathleen was the second eldest daughter. They had a string of children. My God, there are a lot of Kennedys, because they're Catholic, and there wasn't TV. And so Kathleen died. She married the Duke of Devonshire's son, and they flew into a mountain somewhere in Switzerland. Then there was Maria Shriver's mother, whose name escapes me for the moment. I think it was Ethel, and she started the Special Olympics and all the rest. Maria Shriver,
Eunice,
sorry, that's quite right. Maria Shriver obviously married Arnold Schwarzenegger. As soon as he married into the Kennedys, he got heart attacks. I mean, this is Mr. Universe. The Kennedy curse is so strong, it leveled Mr. Universe. He's like, I am going to marry a Kennedy. And then as soon as he married a Kennedy, my heart, what is going on here? Maria's like, it's just the family curse. Horrible.
Then the name trickled down and one of them
Bobby
dated.
Bobby was shot. Oof. That's the next brother down. He was shot while he was running for president. Ted obviously drove brought off the bridge in Chappaquiddick.
Mm-hmm.
And then just got out of the car and stumbled home and didn't tell anybody. Jeez. And the next day he's like, oh, well, yes, there might have been a woman in the car. And he killed her. And he still ran for president. Mm. It was weird. It was just the most weird family. And... Since then, I mean, one of them skied into a tree.
Oh.
One of the grandchildren. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. No, it's a disaster. Then John died in his plane accident. And I mean, those Kennedys should just stay indoors.
Or change their name.
Well, I really do have an uncle, Robert Kennedy.
Yes.
And he's from New York, mm-hmm. and he's related to the Kennedys.
There we go.
And the curse seems to have stopped because he comes from a family of four kids,
yeah.
all good-looking, all successful. He's like, he's super wealthy, you know.
Right.
Friends, they have parties on P. Diddy's boat type thing.
There we go.
Casual.
Well, listen, though, they're still a very powerful family, and the Kennedys had an enormous influence on America for the longest time and still continue to do. I mean, Ted was one of the longest-serving senators in the U.S. Senate. I yesterday interviewed the Irish ambassador mm-hmm. to South Africa, and we'll play that out for you probably next week. Mm. What a cool guy. You know that there are more Irish people in America than there are in Ireland?
Cheapers.
There are yep. more Irish people
about
in
4
America.
Million, about 4, maybe 5, four, between 4 and 5 million people in Ireland. There are about 40 million Irish Americans. Mm. And there are, all over the world, there are more Irish people than there are in Ireland. There's the Irish diaspora, because you know what happened in Ireland. During the late 1800s, they had this potato famine where they just ran out of food. Mm. And people just left Ireland. Well, for greener pastures.
The Irish can't survive without potatoes.
No.
It's a known fact.
No. Well, that and Guinness.
Yeah.
They really struggle when there's no Guinness. But, I mean, you'll hear it all in the interview that I had with the Irish ambassador. He's a very, very interesting guy. So we'll play that for you probably Tuesday, Thursday next week. So just stick around.
And also just the fact that you don't need a visa to go to Ireland.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that exciting?
I farted so loudly in a restaurant in Ireland. It was called the Elephant and Castle.
Well, now it's called
you the
now,
Elephant.
Now it's the Elephant and Castle. It's known as that in my family.
I was with my mum. Did you not realize you had one on board? I mean, wow. That's
with my mum and brother. That is nothing. I'll verbalize it for you. No, still nothing. Nope. Gentle. Soft and breezy compared. We were having breakfast.
Oh, that sounds
that
more like diarrhea.
We were having breakfast, my mum and brother and I, and I'd spotted this place in a magazine on the plane.
Yeah.
And I said, we need to go to the Elephant and Castle. Walked along the cobbled streets and found the Elephant and Castle. Went inside. It was so quiet. You could hear people's newspapers, you know, turning pages. It was that quiet. And we were looking at the menu. And we were sitting on these sort of Swedish-styled wooden benches. And I felt one on board.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, let's do the slow, quiet release.
The ass creep.
Yes. Came out like this.
Bah! No!
It was the loudest sound I've ever heard, and it hurt.
Like an explosion.
Well, my mum hid behind her enormous menu. My brother stood up.
Oh, my God.
Stood up, because the whole restaurant knew what had happened, and said, Leanne, you apologize to everyone in this restaurant right now.
That is so embarrassing. I would have died right there.
That was the noise. In fact, you know, I mean, the Irish are sensitive about bombs and things.
Hell yeah.
I could have had everyone under the table.
So you was that in Dublin?
Yes.
Wow. I'd love to go to Dublin. I mean, now that your fart's cleared.
Now that it's cleared. You've got to be wary
but
of
your
those,
name isn't.
Those cobbled streets, though. We went into a dungeon-type restaurant where we had an Irish stew and a Guinness.
Yeah.
Came up out the dungeon, and the curbs just comes out at you. It's very jagged and weird.
After a few Guinnesses, everything seems to move.
And I tripped. I fell onto a car bonnet.
Oh, no.
And slid on my stomach underneath, all the way to underneath a table for two, a romantic bistro table.
Oh, no. And there were two people there having romantic
yeah,
dinner.
And I looked up to find my mum and brother. They were nowhere to be found. My mum was across the road clutching her vagina because she was about to have a wee. She was laughing so much. there lie my memories of Ireland.
That's your Kennedy genes coming through. That's great. All right, so if you'd love to share a lovely story.
But I have a question. Did you ever go back to that restaurant after that?
No way.
What?
She didn't even go back to Ireland after that. She's staying the hell out of this place.
Whoa.
Jesus, can you imagine?
Mm-mm.
How embarrassing, Leanne.
How old were you?
It was a few years ago.
Oh, were you sober?
She was in my 30s.
She was an adult.
Sober, perhaps?
Completely sober.
I'm trying to help you out, find any reason to justify this.
Well, look, let's just say I was more shocked than everyone else, because that came out of me.
You know, sometimes you don't realize your own power.
No. I was very surprised.
There's a great Whitney Houston song called I Didn't Know My Own Strength. Mm.
Right.
That's yours, Leanne.
That's you, Leanne.
That's me. I've never farted confidently since.
Oh, hell. Wow. How awful. How awful.
Oh, actually, after you're throwing up on Monday, are you okay now?
Yes, much. Oh.
Yes, you had a dicky tummy.
Yes, I had a vomity morning. All better.
Good, I'm glad. Nothing worse than that. Sluices open at both ends.
Oh.
Nasty.
No.
We've got lavatorial very early this morning.
Very.
Usually it starts after 7. That's impressive stuff, you guys.
We broke a record.
Yeah, I went to this event yesterday. The BBC have just launched their new summer lineup, and they've got some great programs. You know, they do these, obviously they've done Blue Planet and Planet Earth and Planet Earth 2 and Blue Planet 2, and these are just the most beautifully filmed, most exquisite quality shows that you can imagine. And David Attenborough, he's in his 90s, that man. He's, what, 92, 94?
What a life he's lived.
Jesus, he's been to every remote corner of the world. He's seen animals that the rest of us will only ever see in his movies.
And he says he's still surprised all the time, man, by things that he sees.
Well, this is this new show that they've got. It's called Dynasties. So what they do is they track five animals, five individual animals. The one is a lioness. They track a chimpanzee, a male chimpanzee. They track a tiger and a wild dog and a penguin, an emperor penguin. And they stay with these animals for 4 years. I mean, some of them obviously don't last 4 years, but we don't know what the trajectory is. They choose the animal and then they're going to follow it and tell its life story. It's absolutely gripping. You know what, like you get that shot where the camera is looking at the chimpanzee and the chimpanzee kind of lifts his head from looking down at the ground. He lifts his head and he looks right at the camera. And you're like, this is a sentient creature. This thing knows what's going on. It knows that we're here to tell its story, and it's aware. This is a smart animal. And you kind of get this shiver up your spine, because you humans, we often think that we're so superior to the other animals, and we're a different, a distinct branch of life, and that we are just so tied in with all these other animals. We've forgotten it. We've forgotten how close we are to all of them and how much we've grown together over millions of years. Because over the last, you know, say 100,000 years, we've obviously split off and we've made animals our food and we've made them our competition and we've treated them like, you know, almost as possessions, and whatever their needs are pushed to the side and our needs are put right on top. And humans have developed this superiority complex over other animals, which I think is going to come back and bite us at some point. Not necessarily that we're going to be beaten down by these other animals, but we're going to kill ourselves if we don't take stock of the fact that we're part of this family tree of all these other magnificent creatures. And this show is just so beautifully done. The little promo they showed us, It's in my head. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't wait to watch this thing. Just such amazing, amazing footage. They follow these wild dogs, and they almost, I think it must be a drone or something. They're filming them from above, but you see the shadows. And the shadows, looking at the animal itself from above, it's just this little strip. But the shadow is the animal walking. It's magnificent. It's just so beautiful. I mean, I have never seen anything so beautiful in film. It's like every frame is a work of art. Every
amazing
frame could be framed and put on a wall, and it would be the most beautiful thing in your house.
I feel like this is one show. If I watched it, it would definitely turn me into a vegetarian.
Well, this is the thing, right? And I keep having this discussion with my sister. I know it's not going to go away. She's a vegetarian. She's not a vegan, but she doesn't like eating animal stuff. And she decided, what, 10 years ago or whatever, maybe even further
back. Longer than that, yeah.
I'm not going to do this. And she's a massive animal rights activist. And yeah, she's not strident about it in that she tells the rest of us you shouldn't eat meat. And I eat a lot of meat. I'm a proper carnivore.
Same here, but when you think about their lives
and what you're doing, they say that if one person in each family stops eating meat, you reduce the toll on the environment, the carbon footprint, the amount of damage and pollution and pain and suffering that we wreak all over. You reduce it by, you know, a huge percentage. Every person who does it in every family.
Interestingly so, there's this animal rights organization who has this new protest campaign. They go around to different grocery stores and they go to the meat section and they slap these stickers on the various types of meat. And they have these generic stickers, but you'll get the gist when I explain it. These stickers, for example, in the beef section will tell the story of an average cow.
Yeah.
So they'll have a picture of a cow and they'll say, "Hi, my name is Emily. You think I grew up on this lush green farm with rolling hills, but actually I was pumped with all of these harmful chemicals. I didn't have enough space to move around or graze freely. My child was taken away from me to make this type of meat product." And really, once you're more aware of what happens, I don't think we can carry on making the same decisions.
I have a huge dilemma every time I eat meat, a mental dilemma. Yeah. Yet I enjoy it so much, it's really difficult to not eat it.
But this is my problem. Yeah, this is my problem. At least delicious. We're thinking about it because I didn't think about this stuff for most of my life. I've only really started thinking about it recently. I've given up pork. I could still occasionally dip into the bacon at breakfast, but otherwise I don't eat pork sausages. I don't eat pork chops. I don't eat pork, any other kind of pork. Forgive me, a little bit of bacon every now and then.
But I'm with you on that.
Don't do it.
I don't eat pork. I don't eat lamb. I don't eat baby animals like veal and lamb specifically because of the way they're treated.
Mm-hmm.
In a nutshell, they're born, their legs are tied together so that they don't develop muscle, and that's why they're so tender.
And they get put in a little box so that they can't move around.
Horrible.
Horrible. What we do to these animals.
It's really, you see them on the back of a truck. And
I want to cry. See, I don't cry if I see humans in difficulty. I don't cry because I think humans, you know, we can change things. Mm. We have a mind. We have the means to communicate. Obviously, there are a lot of people who are in difficult situations, and my sympathies go out to them. But humans, you are so much more empowered than an animal. An animal can't scream out. It can't say to you, "Listen, you've got to stop that. That's just wrong." There's no one standing up for animals.
No, if a human wants to put a cow on a truck, the cow will get into the truck.
And then the cow will be taken to the market, it'll be sold, and then it'll be slaughtered. And then eaten.
At a moment in 2014, I think, yes, it was 2014, I visited the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
And it was my first time watching a chicken being slaughtered live.
A chicken?
A chicken.
And a chicken's not really that into it.
I know.
All running around.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't eat it. Yeah. I couldn't because they chopped its head off and it continued running still with the blood sprouting out. God. It was so horrible.
I went to a Xhosa wedding once, and, you know, before the wedding they sacrifice a cow. And, I mean, they do it in a it's probably a lot less painful for the animal than a lot of other ways that they could kill them.
Mm.
And, you know, it bleeds out. And, you know, there's obviously there's some kind of, over years and years and years, they found a way to make it as action-free as possible. Not a bunch of people running and stabbing the thing. And then it suffers, you know, in pain. Mm. It just bleeds out and goes unconscious and then dies. And then they obviously, that's part of the ritual. And it didn't, I wasn't like offended by it. You know what I mean? I wasn't like, this is, but when I see animals in the back of a truck, oh God, all these animals, their big eyes.
They're so squashed together.
You see their stressed beyond belief because they're moving through traffic and it's hot sometimes. And oh God, I seriously, that emotionally just affects the hell out of me. I can't deal with it. Anyway, what a depressing thing to start talking about. Sweet Jesus. Can we start again? Let's just pretend it's six and start again. Let's do the five things. How about that, huh?
Sure.
Is that better?
Yes, please.
Oh. Well, there's a lot to talk about. First things first, did you hear about VBS Bank?
No.
Oh, wow.
Another day, another scandal.
Yeah, well, VBS Bank is the bank that was supposed to lend the president money to pay back the Gundlach improvements that he wasn't allowed to make on the state's account. And remember, we were all going, who the hell's this VBS Bank? Because we'd never heard of them before. Well, it turns out the VBS Bank was really a captured bank. It was captured by about 50-odd people who've all been named and shamed in a report by a very capable and competent advocate who's combed through just tons and tons of paperwork to find out who the most guilty people are in this situation. It's just absolutely terrifying what's happened here. And one of the people who's been fingered in this report is Floyd Shivambu's brother, who pocketed $16 million. Now, he's one of the lower-level people. The Vendor King apparently got a nice payout from the VBS Bank. I mean, it's called the Vendor Building Society, so that's probably why. But the the newspapers are all reporting about advocate Terry McDowell, who established that more than 50 people and companies have siphoned off nearly 2 billion rand from the bank over 36 months.
I'm too dumb to understand how it would actually work.
Such a lot of money. Well, the bank was placed under curatorship by the Reserve Bank, and the EFF called on its members to defend the financial institution. And everybody thought, well, why would the EFF be defending the VBS Bank? What's this all about? Because the VBS Bank is a disaster, right? The people who were invested there, the ordinary people, couldn't get their money out. They'd put money in. Imagine putting your life savings. You're an old gogo in a rural village. You've saved like a post office account, and then you decide you're going to put it into the VBS Bank. Mm. This is your life savings. You maybe want to send your grandson to varsity or something. You want to buy a TV for somebody because you've got nothing. And then these crooks take your money, and then when you come to draw your money, they say, oh, sorry, it's empty. There's nothing in the bank.
Sure.
Your life savings. You talk about people who do not give a shit about the poor. You talk about evil capitalists in government and in business. Then those people are not your problem. These guys are such brazen crooks. And then these are the same people who have the cheek to talk about white monopoly capital and Cyril and his buffaloes, all of these things. You know what? These are the most terrible people in the whole of South Africa because they are not just ripping off the poor, they're also mocking them. They have the cheek to say that they care about the poor. It's such hypocrisy. So Floyd Shivambu's own brother got away with 16 million rand, and that's why the EFF was saying defend VBS. Can you believe this? Those fucking crooks. Mm. The Red Berets said that they couldn't allow a black bank to be attacked. Now it's emerged that Floyd's brother pocketed 16 million in unlawful payments. Mutau's report does not reveal when or why Brian was paid the sum of money, but who gets paid 16 million? And it's not like he's a whiz kid and he helped the bank and they're so successful now. So what would he have got that for? The EFF, of course, not responding to this development. It's amazing how they shut up when it involves them. They can't wait to climb in when it involves the ANC or the DA or anybody else. They've always got something to say. You can't find enough EFF spokespeople when they're not in it themselves. They're all quiet as a church mouse right now. Here's some of the people. Vele and their associates, 936 million rand. That's the majority shareholder in VBS. Someone called Chifiwa Matodzi, he's the chairman of VBS, 325 million rand. Free State Development Corporation, whatever that is, 104 million rand. Kabelo Matsepe, who's the former Limpopo ANC Youth League director. Politics is such a great way to make money if you're a useless person. Sipo Malaba, Poppy she's the VBS General Head of Treasury and Capital Management. The Vendor King's advisor got money. Someone called Raliom Razwinane, Firmenox, whatever that is, 17 million. The Vendor King, Tony Mpepu, 17 million. And then Brian Shivambu's down there. A guy called Charles Salier. Tisang Private Capital. If you've dealt with any of these people, you ought to be ashamed.
And let them all be held accountable.
They must go to jail, right? They've stolen this. Blatantly, they've stolen this money. They should all be arrested and locked up in jail tomorrow. The lot of them. There's no reason to...
No,
until
absolutely.
They prove that they're not involved in this, and until we all know... They can get bail. This is a free country. You're allowed to be arrested and
they
then get
bail. They can certainly afford it.
Of course. Of course. And they can afford the lawyers, too. But if you are a lawyer who represents one of these crooks, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, too.
I'm still stuck on the statement the EFF made.
Oh, I know.
Saying they can't allow
a black bank as if that's
to be
a thing.
Attacked.
I mean, isn't it outrageous?
What does it matter what color it is?
But you know why they said that? That's politics. The reason they said it was to protect Floyd Shivambu's brother. As soon as it's one of ours, we change the rules, you know? And then, just in case you wanted a little more bad news, the Auditor General, Kimi Makwetu, has said that 50 billion in irregular expenditure was racked up by government departments and state entities, and it could go up. They're just such deceitful, dishonest people in politics. The audits of a number of state-owned companies, including South African Airways, SA Express, and Danel, have yet to be finalized. Makwetu briefed Parliament's Standing Committee on Public Accounts on the national and provincial audit outcomes for the past financial year. He painted a picture of declining financial health in government departments and state entities, saying there's only been limited improvement in accountability for government spending. You know, a lot of people thought, well, when Jacob Zuma went, this would end. But you can see the rot goes everywhere. It goes deep. It goes down to municipalities, who were, by the way, the ones who gave the VBS bank most of this money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the individual councillors in a municipality, people whose names you would never know. These are the people who are stealing. Those low-level people and the ones up the top. It's not just the Guptas and Jacob Zuma. We have a rot in this country. You've got to look at everybody who's in a powerful position in this country and be suspicious of them, especially if they're political, because they're not honest people. The evidence would show overwhelmingly that they should not be trusted. And only once you've established that they're trustworthy can you trust them. Look at each politician you meet with absolute suspicion. I mean, what a way to live. You have to look at everyone as if they're a crook. Just in case, because they probably are. Apparently, Facebook's WhatsApp Messenger service said on Wednesday it's fixed the latest bug on the platform that allowed hackers to take over users' applications when they answered an incoming video call.
Do we believe them or want to hear?
Do you do video calls on WhatsApp?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
I hate them.
I haven't done that. I don't even do voice calls. I don't even do voice calls on WhatsApp. I don't like them. WhatsApp's video calls are crap, and their voice calls are crap. If someone phone me. When I get a WhatsApp call, I'm like, nah.
I find the opposite. I sometimes find it's better than a cell phone reception.
Well, now we have your details as well. I just checked and your system is definitely hacked. So, yeah, they said...
And it's great for phoning people when they're overseas and you've both got Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
That's right. The announcement follows reports from technology websites that the vulnerability which affected WhatsApp applications on Apple and Android smartphones was discovered in late August and was fixed in early October. So apparently they did find it, they did manage to stop a lot of it, but apparently it was quite a big deal, according to Project Zero's Google researchers, Travis Ormandy, chief among them. WhatsApp is used by more than 1.2 billion people around the world.
Mm.
That's huge.
So these past few weeks are really not helping their credibility at all.
Mm-mm. And speaking of technology companies, Apple plans to give original content for free to device owners. I'm always a little bit worried about this, because if you get something for free, what's it really worth? So Apple have decided they're planning a new digital video service that will provide original content free to Apple phone users, CNBC reported on Wednesday. The service will carry subscription channels, which will allow customers to sign up for online-only services like those from HBO and Stars.
Oh, okay.
Could be cool. I'm not saying no. You give me something for free, I'm always happy to take it, but,
but
I don't know that you value it, you know? Someone's got to pay for this somehow.
what did they give us a few years ago? U2 or something?
Oh, God.
They forced that to us.
Yes, when we got U2 automatically downloaded onto our phones. I tried to delete it for 5 years.
Yeah, I've still got it.
Oh, shit.
And then they were so proud of themselves.
Oh, what a shit album.
Oh, great
Apple
numbers.
Apple has been struggling to gain ground for its TV services, planning to debut the revamped app early next year. They declined to comment. Well, of course they declined to comment. You don't go to Apple for content, you go to them for devices. I wish people could stay in their lane when it comes to this stuff, because you can't be a specialist in everything. You can be a generalist in everything, but you can't be a specialist in everything. And I love Apple's products. I've complained a lot about the lack of innovation since Steve Jobs died, but I think that's unfair. I think they're doing whatever they can. We just expect more and more every year, but not content. I've never thought of, I want a good show. Let me go into Apple. If I go into Apple TV, it's to find someone else who makes the content. You don't go to KFC and expect a gourmet cordon bleu duck l'orange. You know what I mean?
Well, perhaps that model is going to change.
KFC is going to start serving duck l'orange?
You know, they've onboarded a bunch of different people. You know, they signed that deal with Dr. Dre for music. They got Oprah on for some of the original content. So perhaps they're trying to be this.
Oprah. That's why you bring it up. You want some Oprah.
He sticks it in the middle of the list.
I started with Dre, okay? Like, and it should be Iovine as well.
Yeah. Mommy dearest.
Yeah, you just mean Oprah. You're not interested in the rest.
Sia, Oprah's going to make Apple cooler, okay?
Sia's so transparent. You can see right through him with Oprah.
He had Oprah on his forehead before he even spoke.
Oprah's always on my phone. What do you mean?
Your forehead.
Okay. Oh, and this is a horrible story, but it's worth mentioning because a person had died after an Eskom power station explosion. Did you hear about this?
Jeez.
Unit 5 of the Letabo power station, there was an explosion, and one person has been killed. That's in the Vaal. Mm-hmm. Eskom say it's not clear what caused the trip. Spokesperson Kulu Pasiwe says they're investigating the extent of the damage to the unit. Yo, it's a boiler explosion. It's a horrible thing to happen. I mean, those power plants, there's some serious, dangerous amounts of electricity going around, and there's a lot that hangs in the balance. There's massive amounts of energy that are transferred left, right, and center. You don't want to be in the middle of that.
Yeah, your safety helmet's not going to help.
Oh, hell no. Sure. All right, well, here's a quick message from Carl. He says, between Leanne's Irish fart and all the talk about killing animals, you guys are bumming me out. Lamb is delicious. Why would it be put on earth if not to eat? It's too delicious not to eat. Regards, Carl. All right.
So delicious.
I know. I'm on your side. So the stock markets have gone through absolute hell in the last 24 hours. Not just ours, but the NASDAQ, the S&P, and Bitcoin and Ethereum have not been spared. Bitcoin, $6,289. Ethereum, $204. Those are the latest numbers on cryptocurrency. There's no Ben today because he's on his way back from Sun City. He'll be here tomorrow along with Leanne and Nolo, and he'll give us an update on the sport tomorrow. But do you want to do some Said by Sia?
Yeah, hopefully for Carl, this will make him feel better.
Oh, you've got it. Oh, thank you. You've got something for Carl. Well, thank God. We don't want to let anybody get unhappy.
Yes. Folks, here's a new term to think about as we move into the future. An eco brick. Has anyone ever heard of that?
Is that one of those bricks that's made out of like all the shit that's lying around and you can build your house with it?
Yes.
I like that.
This is very, very cool. So the Endangered Wildlife Trust is working to boost education by building important structures like schools, for example, using eco bricks. And I'll also give you some tips on how you can help. So the Endangered Wildlife Trust, they really do work at making our environment better. And as well, a little earlier, we were talking about animals also help that. So now they have worked on this new concept and they have a new campaign trying to spread it. It's called an eco brick, and it's basically made up of a large plastic bottle which is packed full of unrecyclable material. So your sweet wrappers, your balloons, straws and chip packets. And this method basically represents a zero waste system and greatly reduces the waste ending up in landfills. And so the bricks actually once they've been created are well insulated and they're actually even resistant to earthquakes. I think this is awesome. More so, we know the massive buzzwords this year about recycling and how straws are horrible and plastic island. Well, this is your little bit to help. So you can go into a website, ecobricks.org. I'm no expert in this, but I've been reading up and they actually lay it out so well on the website, ecobricks.org. That's ecobricks.org. Mm-hmm. And they lay everything out about what you can do or where you can donate or how you can kick off making a change. But they even simply take in what you do at home. So if you keep a 2-liter bottle, you know, you've had your soda in there, and you start putting in different plastics that you've used and that you can't recycle, and then you can donate at different various points all across the country. They can then take it over and they take on the entire process of actually turning it into a brick that could go out and build schools and help communities around the country. I think this is so awesome. So please go ahead and read up on that and that's see good. How you can make a difference.
As long as the big bad wolf can't blow it down.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
If the bricks are resistant to earthquakes, I think you don't
think
have,
we're fine, yeah.
I think you don't have to worry about that. It's so cool, it's so nifty, and if it kills two birds with one stone, then it's awesome. That's your said by Sia for this morning.
Thank you, Sia. All right, very nice. A couple of things before we get to 7 o'clock in the Burning Platform, which I'm excited about today. There's so much to talk about with this VBS scandal, with Nhlanhla Nene going. We've already forgotten that Tito Mboweni's a new finance minister. You see, we have so many. We have so many finance ministers to choose from. How many times has it changed in the last little while?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we've all lost track. It's kind of ridiculous.
It has been a busy couple
of days. Tito Mboweni is now our finance minister. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot of things, so stick around.
Mm-hmm.
It should be good fun. Here's an email you guys mentioned on yesterday's show. This is from Ryan in Berlin. He says, how cuck it would be to have a surname like Hitler. Do you remember we spoke about that? Imagine Leanne Hitler.
It's not good.
No.
Not a nice ring.
No.
Leanne Cosby.
There's apparently an actual reality show in America that people with that surname, they get followed around. All I can say after watching that is that people should get some government compensation from Merkel for having to carry that burden, or a free pass to change their surname to whatever they like. Maybe Trump, Zuma, Mugabe. Any of those would be a better surname. That's from Ryan in Berlin.
Mugabe?
Imagine growing up as, well, I don't think Mugabe's children use that surname. Because I don't think people would want, you know, it's weird. Like, you do get these ordinary citizens, and I always think they're so brave, who will say to someone, oh, you're X and Y, this dictator's son. You're not staying at this hotel. Thank you. And they don't let them in.
Yeah.
I always think that's great. You know, if someone does that. Because in this country, we look at this VBS report. They're all these crooks, and you can go and look up their names. We should all make sure that we're aware of who these people are. And if they come and try and do business with us, whether it's a small business or a big one, we should say to them, sorry, we've had enough of you taking advantage of poor people. Get out. Your money is only useful for you to spend now. No one wants to make you any more. Don't do business with them.
Mm.
I always have such admiration for people like that. But if you're, like, Hitler didn't have any children, so you're not descended from Hitler. You know what I mean?
Mm.
He might have had an uncle who was probably a very pleasant chap. You don't know. I mean, not the whole Hitler family were shitheads. You don't know.
Yeah, because didn't they say he wasn't hugged enough or didn't go to art school
or something? You think he wasn't hugged enough? Angry, angry, angry Hitler? You don't think he was...
No, never mind.
Just a little fatherly love would have sorted that one out early. You know, they say, seriously, though, we discussed this on the show once before, if they had diagnosed him and given him antidepressants early on, we wouldn't have had World War II.
Yeah.
Or any of this nonsense. He would have been calm. Instead, he was this ranting, raving lunatic.
Yo.
I mean, not all the Hitlers were bad. I'm sure there was one Hitler somewhere in the family who was very kind.
it's a tough pill to swallow to think that way. But okay.
Think about your family for a second. Out of all of them, uncles, aunts, grandparents, whoever, There are probably some that you wouldn't want to be in charge of anything.
Yeah, like, and they can't be painted all with the same brush.
You wouldn't want... There's probably a Sangweni or a Mole or a Hilly or someone in your each of your families who you wouldn't want to be in charge of the country because they would really screw it up. They'd be greedy. They'd spoil... You know what I'm talking about. You've got that person in mind now, right?
Who shouldn't even leave the house. Mm-hmm.
But right. I mean, you told me about that aunt of yours.
Oh, the great aunt who always wants to get her boobs out.
No.
Who drinks a lot.
Imagine she was Minister of Social Development. She'd make Batabile Dlamini look like a winner.
But I was talking to a lady who was married to a Mandela, and they have children together. Oh. And she's now, you know, they're now divorced, and she has... dropped the Mandela surname. I'm like, girl,
wow,
that is the golden ticket. Why would you lose that? I'm thinking you just lost out on everything. I guess, yeah, it speaks to her personality and how she wants to blend into the crowd. But man, if that was me, I'd want to be late to every single flight just so that I'm called.
Oh, sir.
Can Sia Mandela please go to gate 89?
And you'll run up there going, that's me.
No, run. Take a slow trot so that everyone sees the Mandela.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you would. You'd totally take use of it. I mean, there's some surnames that, you know, people go, ooh.
Mm, Rothschild.
That's interesting.
You see, she might have dropped it because people would... often say to her, oh, Mandela, are you related? And then it brings up the whole sad past.
Yeah.
I mean, my poor ex-husband suffers. Oh, are you related to that lovely Leanne Moll?
That lovely.
Yeah, she's my ex-wife. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He actually phoned me once and said, drop the surname. It's
not yours. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what did you say to him?
I said to him, I signed off as Leanne Moll. Put the phone down.
This is Leanne Moll.
Boom.
Wow.
This conversation is... Leanne Moll says this conversation is over.
Shit. How's that, huh? Wow. Some interesting stuff. Yeah, but you do... You kind of want to... You don't want to have some... Some surnames are not a good idea.
Yeah.
Hitler's a bad one. It's right up there. It's at the top of the list, probably.
But we were talking about Kennedys a little earlier. That would give you a few looks or open a few doors.
Sure. I saw a documentary a while ago on Joseph Stalin's grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have the surname Stalin. I don't think they do that in Russia. I think they do a different system for surnames.
Mm.
But he doesn't parade around with a Joseph Stalin, you know. He doesn't tell people that was my grandfather. He doesn't want people to know that.
Yeah.
But people kind of know. I mean, if you're descended from a dictator as wicked as Hitler or Stalin, you want to close down those links as soon as possible. Yeah, I come from a family. Mm. I've got a father, a grandfather. Yeah.
He's quite a grumpy guy.
Yeah, he was. You might know of him.
I'm an orphan.
Oh, really? Yes, he was a playwright.
I'm an orphan. That's all
right. You wrote some horrible plays. All right, coming up, The Burning Platform, which I can't wait to get into this morning. And your calls, 0861 555 189. Give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell us what you want to talk about this morning. The whole team's here, except for Ben, to keep you company through your Thursday and get things going. Tell us what's happening.
CliffCentral.com.